It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 455. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. On Facebook, send me a friend request, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And also, don't forget the wiki at mtswiki.com. There, you'll find links to all the past shows, links to the audio, and all the show notes. I have a slightly different show tonight, where I'm going to spend the majority of the time, maybe even the whole show, just on stories from the trenches and everything I've been working on literally this past week. So I want to begin with my work last Friday. Had a client who has a very old old server. This is a not-for-profit organization. Their server, over 10 years old, running Windows Server, Small Business Server 2003, on more than one occasion, I have advised them to purchase a new system before a catastrophe happens. Now, they have Shadow Protect for Small Business Server running as a backup, and the backups are working perfectly. Now, the server totally crashes, and looks like a motherboard, possibly a problem. This is a gateway server. Gateway does not even support this anymore. So they decided to pull the trigger and purchase a new server. And they do this right on Dell's website. I give them the advice as to what to purchase. They make the purchase. And to my surprise, the server was delivered last Thursday. This all happened on Monday, and they ordered the system on Tuesday. And to get the server delivered Thursday, I don't know what miracles they worked with Dell, but that was incredible. So I said, I'll be there Friday morning, and I'll help you get this going. I bring with me, you know, all my disks, and I bring my laptop. The first thing I do is get the new server set up and begin to do a recovery for independent hardware restore from Shadow Protect. That process does not go well, and I have some questions. So here's lesson one. Do not, if you have Shadow Protect, do not let your maintenance run out, because that's what this company did. They didn't renew their maintenance. They wanted to save money. And not having that maintenance renewed, tech support, although very good, there you get limited help, because they want to charge you per incident if you don't have maintenance. Per charge for the incident is $300. So we're trying to avoid that charge. To renew the maintenance, it was only $247 to bring them current. So clearly, to get a whole nother year's support and to get updated maintenance, you know, we really got to do that for $247. It doesn't make sense to pay the $300 for the call. They were helpful and gave me some advice. I ran into every issue you could possibly running into in trying to obtain the driver for the new controller on the new server. Because remember, now we got modern hardware, and I'm trying to do a restore of Windows Server, Small Business Server 2003. I finally get the recovery going. It won't finalize until I call and I have to get a code. So wait to hear this. If your version is too old, so I'm using version 4.1.5 and they're at 5.01, I think. So the recovery media that I was told to use to boot, to do the restore was 5.0, and I'm recovering with 4.1. Well, they know that it's old, and it gives me this 25 characters of a install code, and for me to finish the restore, I have to call tech support again, read them that code. They read me back a 25-digit code, sort of like getting Windows validated the old-fashioned way. And they give me a code, and I said, what's going on here? And they said, it's to avoid people using a trial version and doing a restore. And what they want to make sure is that it's a licensed version, even if you don't have maintenance. So they don't charge you, but you have to go through this step in order for you to be able to finish the recovery. And it's only for the C partition, only for that a primary boot partition. Because I said, I got four other partitions I got to lay down here. Am I going to have to call you back? And they said, no, it's only going to be for that one partition. So I get the code. It works. I successfully boot into the operating system. This is hours later from when I started this at 10 a.m. I now have to find drivers. Unfortunately, I should have done this early in the morning when I first started. I should have looked. Are there NIC drivers for the embedded 2 gig NIC cards on the motherboard? Are there Windows 2003 drivers? Of course not. I was lucky to get the controller drivers for the RAID controller, for the PERC, Dell RAID controller. There were no base drivers. I'm on the phone with Dell, and Dell, very, very helpful. They were on the phone in seconds and was working with me. I basically come to the conclusion that we got to redo this server. And I brought with me a licensed version of Small Business Server 2008 that I had available in my personal library that I was able to donate to them. And I helped them out with a legitimate Small Business Server, a retail license for Small Business Server 2008. And I began to do an install from scratch. So I blew away everything. I knew I had all the data files, so I don't have to worry. And I now begin the process of installing Windows Small Business Server 2008. Once I get that going, and I have all the drivers at my fingertips, because Dell had 2008 drivers, so I was able to download them. I get the NIC driver going. I get the video. I get the base drivers. The operating system is running beautifully. Now I have to restore the data. There is one set of data that was 30 gigs that I didn't realize had 400,000 files. Do you know how long 400,000 files takes to copy from a USB drive to a partition? I know it takes 4 hours. So for 4 hours, we had a wait for this to totally copy. Once I get all of the data and everything installed, I get Exchange working. I create the new accounts. I get all their email going. I run all the scripts for Small Business Server. We have to get one major application up and running, and that's their bookstore. This is where they make most of their money besides donations. And this is where people come in and they can take credit cards and they can process everything. Well, That's what those 400,000 files were. They're literally pictures of inventory and things that is all part of that bookstore application. I get that up and running. I show the one person how to announce the machine onto the domain. We only have 7 systems to worry about. I get the machines announced that we need to do. I get everything up and running enough on Friday so he can at least continue and is operational. This is now 2:00 in the morning. And my oldest son was with me. He was helping me, and we were dead. In the middle of this, I actually have a conference call scheduled with actually Grant Tech in the chat. And him and I actually begin, we're doing an analysis for a client. In the middle of this restore, since there was a lot of downtime like that, a lot of free time, I was able to do some other things. And I was able to do some other things for my client. So Monday and Tuesday, I get a couple quick questions that I was able to quickly answer and keep them moving forward. But it wasn't until Wednesday morning when they were trying to use Outlook 2007 against the Exchange Server 2007 that gets installed with Small Business Server 2008. And I remembered a similar situation with a client that Winston and I worked on together when we did a migration to Small Business Server 2008. We ran into a problem where all of a sudden Outlook 2007 would prompt for a password. The fix for this is to go and install the Service Pack 2 for Exchange Server. So one of the things you have to do for that Service Pack, you have to download a special install utility for Small Business Server. You then download the Service Pack and you must uncompress it into a directory. You then begin the Small Business Server 2008 Service Pack 2 for Exchange install tool. You run that and point it to the directory where you uncompressed the Exchange Service Pack, and then it begins the process. It takes a very long time. It was over an hour last night for Service Pack 2 to be applied. But once that's applied, and then I rebooted the server, and I was able to successfully do this remote today. I haven't heard from him, but I'm hoping that that took care of the problem for Outlook 2007. There's also a Windows patch that, if that didn't fix it, there's a patch that you apply to Outlook that you can just run, and it's one of those Microsoft automatic fixits. And when you run that, you can also fix this problem. So I have that kind of in my back pocket as a secondary solution. So you can see all the time that was spent working on this. And the valuable lessons are, if you're going to be installing or really recovering an old operating system or older to new hardware, make sure you have the drivers. You got to make sure that you really want to make sure that you have those drivers and make sure that, because if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have started the recovery process. Now, a great question. How many hours do I bill the client? Well, there were 2 hours of Windows updates on Sunday that I actually it might have been 3 hours. It was 111 updates that I babysat and remotely installed them. Then there was last night, a couple hours making sure Exchange was running. So now we're talking 20 billable hours. I only billed my client 11 hours because they're a not-for-profit Spanish Christian radio station in Philadelphia. And I know they don't have the money. And I also know that there was a lot of time, idle time, during that whole process. Even though I was on site and I couldn't make money going somewhere else, I'm trying to be fair to the client during this whole process and emergency. I felt billing them half the time was more than fair. And we kind of shook on that. I knew I was going to get that question, which when these situations happen, and it's going to differ from client to client, you know, what do you bill during situations like this? So you have to evaluate the situation, and then I follow my heart rather than my brain. And sometimes that that's not good. Sometimes it is. We're hoping for good karma from this. So let's move forward and talk about this week. I was hoping yesterday, because I've been so busy and I've been putting in so many hours, that I wanted to sleep in a little bit on Wednesday. So I very rarely do I put my phone on vibrate, but I put my iPhone on vibrate and I actually turned the main phone down. I woke up about 9:30, so I got a really good sleep, and I look down at my phone. There are 5 text messages and 4 voicemails. I can't make this stuff up. And the text messages, as I'm reading them first, Gmail problem, Gmail problem, Gmail problem. They don't say Gmail, but it's email. And I know they're all Google Apps clients. I don't even go to my computer, and I know there has to be a Gmail outage. I rush down to my computer. I go online, and I go to that dashboard that Google maintains for Gmail and all their services, and we're talking red lights almost on Gmail, on Google Apps, Google Docs, Google Presentation, just almost all the services were down or slow or having, you know, difficulty. So I called my clients. I said, look, this is a national Gmail problem. Google's having an issue. Just hang in there. I'm sure it'll be up soon. And about 11 o'clock, that's when things started getting back to normal. We're talking a couple hours for an outage. Now, the client that I was talking with moved from Globat back in November because of all the outages they had. So I put it to him. I said, well, at least they're down less than Globat. So, you know, the lesser of two evils. Can you really recommend somebody else? It could be out of the pan into the fire. Even with that couple hour outage, and I know they had a problem a year ago. Gmail had an issue for a good portion of a day. Given those outages, I still don't have someone else that I would say, wow, I'll move them to them. I love the hosted exchange services for SureWeb, and they've been great for the clients I have with them. No outages, at least nothing significant at all, and very, very happy. So I mean, can we really recommend someone else over Google? Now, if they keep doing this, then we're going to have to look into something else. But for right now, we will live with these occasional pains and these occasional outages. In the midst of all this yesterday morning, a client calls, and this is an amusing story I figured I would share. This is a delicatessen over in New Jersey, and they call me and say, Mike, the new laptop that's set up wirelessly in our office can no longer connect to the internet. Can't connect to anything. I said, let's see if you're connected to the network. And so as we start troubleshooting, I have them describe the icons on the right-hand side. And she starts saying what the one icon, then she says, there's a little airplane. I said, really? An airplane? I said, okay, read me the function keys at the top. We're looking for a picture like a broadcast tower. She says, I see that. That's F12. I said, go hit F12. She hits F12. She says, oh, the little airplane disappeared. And she says, I'm on. You fixed it. You're wonderful. And that was it. Clearly, someone accidentally hit the function key to put that in airplane mode. I didn't even want to get in to describe what airplane mode was. But the minute she said there was a picture of an airplane, I knew what it was and how to correct it. All we had to do was find out which switch or which function key could turn on the wireless again. That was great. Just one of those little stories I wanted to share. I have an influx of desktops that I'm replacing. So one of the things I was working on last week, I went down to a client who has a desktop, and wouldn't you know it, it's 4 years old, and the warranty's only 3. And it was a Dell Precision workstation running Windows 7 Pro, and we thought it was just the hard drive went bad. But now it appears when I'm down there, it's not just the hard drive, but it's the video. And so my client just made the decision and said, Mike, look, let's stop messing around. Just go order me a new computer. So that is being picked up tomorrow. So I'm going to go pick that up from my distributor. And over the weekend, I'll get it staged and set up. And then I'm going to head down to Center City on Monday, and I'm going to get that all hooked up. But also tomorrow, I have another workstation. And this is from one of my retainer clients that's a carpet company. And at their house, when I was there a couple months ago, I was trying to speed up their computer because they were complaining it was slow, and it was XP. And anytime now we see XP, we are now into that time where there is less than a year for XP. Windows XP becomes end of life April 2014. That is less than a year from now. Anybody that I come in contact with that's still running XP, I tell them you must plan for upgrading. If you're in a small company or even a large company, we have to test. We have to migrate you from XP to at least Windows 7 Pro, possibly Windows 8 Pro, depending on drivers and depending on, you know, what you want to do. So I have a client tomorrow that I'm going to be installing, getting rid of their XP and doing the migration. And you know, right now, the best tool that I can recommend is Fabs Auto Backup for Tech. That's a great program that I sit, I run that, let it grab everything. Then I do a once over, making sure I have everything. Once I do that, put the new system in, run Fabs Auto Backup for Tech to do the restore of all the data. And this is after I run and install all of the software. So you kind of have to have an inventory of all the software. And then once I do that, I get everything restored and clients happy. So I have two businesses right now. Also, these are new opportunities for me that not only are they a potential retainer client, but I said, you know, I've identified, look, you got 4 or 5 XP workstations here. We have to have a process to migrate and upgrade to Windows 7. Now, luckily, they already have a couple Windows 7 workstations, so I know their core applications work. So that's something that you need time to test. This summer, this is our summer. If you are doing anything for IT and computer support, doing computer repair, this is the summer to take advantage of migrating. Have a process for migrating XP to either Windows 7 or Windows 8, and you should be making a lot of money on consulting, on reselling hardware, and doing these upgrades. This is an opportunity that you don't want to miss, and it's one that I'm taking advantage of right now, and I'm going to get as much business as I can. So I can position not only my clients, but anybody I run into that's a potential client, to be able to position them to be able to get them upgraded. So there's going to be lots of testing. It's a lot of work, and you got to communicate that to say you just can't do this overnight. You don't want to wait until the end of the year to do this. And the reason why the summer is because that's a slow time for a lot of businesses. That's something that I'm going to start scheduling, you know, June, July, August, you know, for massive installs and migrations. And so that's when I'm going to start lining them up as early as I can for doing those migrations. Take advantage of that for your business. Here is an update, and this is a link that Kate sent me on Twitter. And I'm just going to paraphrase this, just read this. Ninite.com, they stopped listing the Adobe Flash Player. And the co-founder, Patrick, of Ninite, said the following. Adobe asked us to take that off our free site. They want consumers to get it from their site now. This is not a Ninite-specific request. They've been doing that to all popular download sites. If you're doing PC support with Ninite Pro, still supports Flash and is licensed for non-home use. And that's https://ninite.com/pro. Sorry for the inconvenience and thanks for using Ninite. That's kind of a bummer for Ninite to not carry Flash updates, because I rely on that for all these new systems I'm going to be doing now. I got an extra step where I got to go to Adobe and install Flash. And that stinks. So what I'll probably do is download the Flash and get it on a USB stick and just have it ready, and then do Ninite for everything else, and then just quickly run that from my USB stick, and I'll have it to be able to install. So I wanted to update that. Also, I'm going to have a link to a problem that occurred yesterday, and it was a Malwarebytes database update issue. And there's an apology from the forums on Malwarebytes, and it seems like there was an update that was available only for 8 minutes. Now, I have clients that add up to about 45 seats for Malwarebytes Pro. None of them experienced this problem. So I'm very, very lucky. And I know there are many that were not so lucky. So a bad update, probably not enough testing on Malwarebytes side, and it caused a problem that only solution, I believe, was to go back to a restore point prior to the update, and then you were able to recover on your system. So I don't quite know the details of what was causing it other than the update. I don't know the specifics, but that reminds me of a patch from Patch Tuesday that Microsoft pulled back. They had an update that destroyed your system, that there was a problem, and that certain instances, depending on what you were running in your operating system, this particular update killed your system. I also seen an Adobe Reader update wreak havoc on some of my clients that depend on the ability of Adobe Reader as they go to their broker-dealer site for PDFs. And it was causing a massive problem where I had to go through painstakingly find out the advanced settings in Adobe Acrobat and Adobe Reader and getting them tweaked perfectly so it would not cause problems amongst all of the different websites that they hit. So that was a problem where we had to put, you know, do not update Adobe if you see it. You know, for until we can test it out properly with a future update, and then we can allow it. So it's a catch-22 for us where, look at this, we want to update our Malwarebytes database. Boom, bad update. You want to update with Windows hot fixes because of zero-day attacks, and here we, you know, you have a Windows update that was pushed down that was bad. And what about Adobe? You know, of course you want to do your updates for Adobe and for Java, because there's always vulnerabilities in the different versions and different exploits that they're constantly patching the software. It's a hard determine when do you do the updates and when do you not do them. I'm always in the position for my clients. Always do the updates all the time. For me, I don't do that. I don't process all the updates all the time. I wait with a nice little pause to see, how did those updates make it in the wild? Are there problems? Are there issues? I hold back, except for Malwarebytes. I want that to update all the time. But I never let Windows update. I never let Java or Adobe update automatically. Interesting. What do you do for your clients? What do you do for yourself? I'd be curious. A little poll here from Mike Tech Show listeners. Let me know. And just send me an email, miketechshow@gmail.com. And also, I want to give a huge thank you to everybody using my Amazon link, amazon.mikenation.net. You've been really pounding it this month. I really appreciate it. And please continue sharing that link and for bookmarking it. Give it to friends, relatives, anybody you come in contact with that you know buying from Amazon. Use my link. Your price is the same, and it helps support the show. And I so greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much. Well, I hope you like the sound for tonight's show. This was the first show recorded on my new mixer. Now, you know I've been having lots of difficulties with my Mackie Onyx 1220. That was a great mixer that has served me well for 8 years, and it communicates via FireWire, and I miss that. But it was causing my system to lock up, and it was that FireWire interface that was causing the issue. I don't believe there was anything really wrong with the mixer, so I purchased the Mackie Pro FX12 mixer and bought that from Amazon, and I was able to do so because of the revenue generated from my affiliate link with Amazon. You helped me be able to get this mixer, so I want to thank you. And I received it on Saturday and only had a little bit time to tweak it. And I want to thank everybody who was live in the chat in the pre-show tonight for helping me work out all the little nuances for the sound and the mixer, the music and the voice. You know, there's still going to be more tweaking that's going to happen, and that's going to evolve. I would expect that. But, you know, I want something that's going to be listened, you know, that's going to be of good quality. It'll get excellent as I work on it more. Thank you for your patience with that. Also, Tech Vets, because of this problem, and I hope to get back on the horse with Carrie and I recording next week, we're going to test over the weekend with Skype. I have not tested the mixing of Skype into the new mixer. So it's going to require some different connections and some tests. Carrie and I will run through those tests, and boy, do we have a large, large stack of email to catch up on there. So continue to send us your emails to Tech Vets. We, you know, Carrie and I really appreciate it, and we will be back. That's it for tonight. I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you back here, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.